Hi, this is Jeremy Raddick. I was Gareth in the Doctor Who TV movie, and you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio.
This is Gallifrey Public Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of Doctor Who. We travel through classic and new episodes, explore the extended universe, and play a few games from time to time. We do discuss news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but we'll warn you before anything considered spoilers comes up.
Welcome to episode 439 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where goodbyes are rarely easy, but sometimes they're needed. But good, bad, or undecided, they always leave their mark. I'm Haley.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Julie. This week, we take a look in the rearview mirror and be it a happy parting, a tear-filled exit, or an abrupt and unexpected death, we're going to explore what makes a companion exit memorable.
We've seen the departure of a lot of different companions over the years, and when done right, they can leave their mark on the collective memory of the fan base.
Whether it is a bittersweet moment of friends parting ways, or the forced removal of a beloved part of the team, there are a lot of ways for companions to end their tenure on the show.
Tonight, we dig into just what it takes to really cement those moments in our hearts and our minds.
I kind of have broken this up into a couple different categories of exits, and you know, it seems like most everyone fits into one of these. So first, let's take a look at some of the happy exits, and I put that in quotation marks because it's never really happy to see any of these people leave. But this is more like the platonic, we should part ways kind of thing. No hard feelings, no abrupt anything.
I feel like these are the we need to have a conversation. kind of exits.
Right. The first one that comes to mind, just because we've recently been through it, are Graham and Ryan, who, you know, they kind of had their tenure, they ran through, and they both decided, or well, one decided and the other one followed suit, that it was time to part ways. And while it was a sad occasion, it was, you know, everybody was okay with it.
These exits, especially Graham and Ryan, I have the most respect for them because they made the choice for themselves. And it was a healthy decision, not one made out of, I can't just do this anymore, or any other kind of stress that was put on them. Mm-hmm. And that makes it feels like a complete picture. You saw their journey beginning, middle, and then they leave. And it's natural. And that's why I would put them in the happy quotey fingers there, yes, happy exit. Yeah.
These type of exits are nice, too, because it maintains the agency of the character. They're in control of their own lives. They're making their own decision about what they want to do next. The Doctor was a part of their life, but not their whole life. And they get to go on, and like maybe they can come back today. Maybe they can be in someday. Maybe they can be in audios or something. But their journey continues apart from the Doctor.
I like the fact that you brought up that they, you know, had their own agency and made their own choice, because that kind of leads me into the one that really was the first one I actually thought about when I was thinking of this category, and that's Martha Jones, who made the tough choice. Like, you could tell it was not what she wanted to do, but she recognized that this is the best thing for at least me as a person, and she decided to leave the Doctor despite not wanting to, recognizing it was time.
Yeah, I think Martha would be the least happy of the happies, but it was her choice. And so if we're doing the caveat like they made the choice for themselves happy, then yeah, I would put her here. And I also think that it was, again, a kind of the healthy wrap it up for her. And I, to Haley's point, think that it was fantastic when she was able to return, became part of UNIT, becomes part of Torchwood, and some of those other things that we get to see her come back, because it was a happy, she didn't die, she didn't totally lose scope of what the timey-wimey-ness could be in her life, and I think that part of it was, looking back, makes it okay.
Right.
I So something I always wanted for Martha Jones's character was that she had another season with the Doctor where it wasn't, they didn't shoehorn in the fact that she was pining for him in every episode. I would have really liked to see that season, but I was satisfied with her exit.
Well, I feel like we kind of got that. We didn't get a full season like that, but we did get her coming back and being her own independent person.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a sampling of what a season like that might have been, I guess.
Yeah, but I would have rather had a whole season.
Right.
Agreed. I would sign that petition.
Yeah. So I noticed when I was going through and trying to divide these up that the Classic Who tended to lean more towards this type of exit for the companions. I would say even with Susan, while it wasn't necessarily her call, it wasn't circumstances that drove her apart. It was the Doctor's decision. And she kind of like hit a point in her life when she needed to branch out, Ian and Barbara, and then moving forward through like a lot of them, Sarah Jane, obviously being the big one.
I would have put Susan probably in the next category.
That's possible. Yeah.
I would put Joe Grant in this category.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. So hers was even happy in terms of wedding and engagement and left legitimately on her own terms. Like the Doctor was caught off guard with the whole, oh, you're staying here? Well, cheers to that. And like took that from the Doctor's perspective, it was, he didn't know how to deal with that. So
I was just going to say, in general, I think a lot of the classic companions leaving is a little more abrupt than we get in Modern Who, probably because of how contracts were negotiated and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they knew halfway through the season, like, oh, we need to start building towards this companion leaving. A lot of times it's like in their final story, it's like, well, they're not coming back next year. So make sure they're gone by the end of the story.
You get their special episode and then boop.
That kind of leads us into the other side of the coin where it's not a happy occurrence. It is heartbreaking and nobody wants it to happen. And these are the ones that tend to, the ones that you tend to think of first because they leave such a mark. And obviously one of the first ones that comes to mind is Rose. All of the new Who watchers tend to glom onto this one because that was our first real, like, holy crap, this is terrible. And it sticks in your mind. That visual will always stick with you of Rose sliding down the wall, sobbing.
This was my first companion really leaving as well, mm-hmm. because I started New Who and we've gone back and I've watched a lot more of it after that. And I also feel like Rose got two of those moments. So yeah, the sliding down the wall, but then also on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got punched multiple times right in the heartstrings, which is unhealthy and also gets very dusty. So yes, I agree that these are the ones that really stick with you and you try not to think about it because then it makes you sad again, but then you remember that it was good writing and you want to watch it and so you put yourself through it again and it becomes a thing.
So I know you had mentioned Susan being in the previous category, but I said I would put her in this one because I feel like her departure was a little bit heartbreaking. She was, a woman sobbing on a planet as she's left behind on the journey that she wants to continue on.
Yeah. No, and I can absolutely see that. A lot of these ride that line between, it's like, okay, it wasn't like a horrible exit, but it was also very upsetting.
And for me, I think there's also a difference, too, with something like that where the Doctor chooses for the companion, which plays into the Donna Noble departure. The choice had to be made one way or the other for her, and I think the Doctor would say for Susan as well, but those don't feel fair because they leave you with that unsatisfied, this is, shake your fist at it and wish for better for these people that you've grown to love.
Well, and speaking specifically of Donna, like, you had those few minutes where you had her looking forward to the continued adventures and how things were going to be different going forward. And then you just have that vision of the future stolen away from you by brilliant, terrible writing.
Yeah. And with both with Donna and with Rose, I feel like a lot of the reason that they are so heartbreaking is because of the growth we see in the characters. I mean, Rose, we see, you know, reach that point and then continue on and get to see how her path would continue. With Donna, it's stripped away and set back. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like she probably has the most heartbreaking exit. Not because her story ended, but because her story got pulled away and then had to continue down a completely separate path.
Yeah, so not only is her future stolen, but part of her past is stolen. Like, all this growth she's had over the course of 1 or 2 years since she met the doctor, and it's just gone.
And that's where I say, was it fair? Was that the doctor's choice to make? But you can't change it.
Yeah.
And I shake my fist.
Sure, we can. We got a time machine.
We had something similar happen with Jamie and Zoe back in the classic era, where they were told, like, we're going to take you home and your memories of the doctor wiped from your mind. And it was less heartbreaking with them simply because they didn't protest as much. Like, they're like, all right, well, I guess if you say it's the best thing, then we'll go. Where Donna fought it tooth and nail all the way to the end. But I still feel like it's the same kind of, you had a portion of their story taken away and then rewritten.
You have to wonder how somebody like Donna will get on after that growth. Will she find it again? Or is her going to the shops, having a temp job, be the thing that she kind of cycles through again and again? And that's where it leaves me the most sad and heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, a thing that I'm worried about for the next series and maybe into the specials is that Yaz is going to fall into this category.
Yeah. I'm hoping for better, but I'm hesitant.
I mean, they haven't done the next category in a while. Not really.
All right.
So shall we talk about it?
Yeah, let's rip off the Band-Aid. So we, in our classic rewatch, we have just recently dealt with the first of the companions ending their tenure because they died with Adric. Even though, like, Adric was not the most beloved companion, the abruptness of it and the fact that it was just so sudden, and they're really, like, the way that it ended with the black screen and the no music and everything, you couldn't help but feel the impact of what had just happened.
I shed a tear or two.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't, because I'm cold and dead inside, but I can understand how others would have.
I see you and raise you, robot.
So
says the woman in Cyberman headphones.
I know, right? If you could see me in all my glory on this audio cast. For me as well, did not know that was coming. And I think, of course, companions ebb and flow. And you know that season wraps kind of have that opportunity. And it kind of buttons up things like that. But I was not expecting it. And so when it happened, those are the ones that also stick with you as the somewhat shock factor of it as well, because you're used to they get so close and then they're saved. And in this case, one, it didn't happen. And then two, the doctor argued against going back to fix it, which is a conversation we all had. And then you watch that same conversation between these characters happen on screen, and you look around like, I said that, why don't you go do the thing? And it just makes it that much more, the doctor's not trying to hurt us, but it makes it more hurtful.
Right.
So I, because I have done this cast for some number of years now and have been to Doctor Who conventions and stuff, knew that Adric died at some point on the show. I didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, but I think because of that, I leaned into my being annoyed with him and tried to not get too attached.
Robot.
Well, see, Kira and I both had seen this, had been through it, and we knew it, we were very careful not to tip our hand that was coming, because that is part of the impact of it, is how sudden it is, because you're not expecting it. You're expecting the doctor to save him at the last second, because it leads you to that conclusion throughout the story. Like, it's going to happen. They're talking about it happening, and then it doesn't. And you're just left kind of sitting there like, I don't know.
Can you tell me, and you can say, plead the fifth if you have to, did you all text about this while we were watching it or in between casts or something? Because I just want to know how betrayed I should feel.
There was a whole email chain and a timetable. No, we didn't talk about it at all.
Okay. Because I would have done if I were the other side of it. So I would have been like, oh, this is going to happen and I'm going to have to watch him go through that. And it would have been a whole thing for me. But I didn't know if he felt that way about my feelings.
No, he was secretly recording you to get your reaction for release on a future podcast.
It's going to come out on TikTok someday.
Right.
Because I'm not on there, so I'll never see it.
That's for our Patreon.
Ah, yes. You too can donate and see these unaired, edited to perfection, giant tears just dripping down my face.
Mm-hmm. So talking about the suddenness and unexpected nature of it kind of leads me to think about Clara.
That one leaked, I think, right? It was leaked that her last episode was a certain time. And I remember us having the conversation that, you know, we knew she was leaving in this episode, but I had forgotten what episode that was supposed to happen in. So I was still blindsided by it when it happened.
Right. I remember that there was leaks and then there were counter arguments and then there were confirmations and there was a whole lot of misinformation flying around about it. So we got confused because we didn't want to talk about the, you know, the rumor mill that was going on. And so, yeah, like I think we'd all kind of forgotten that it was supposed to happen. So when it did and the way that it happened, again, you know, thinking that, you know, they're working the entire time to come up with the solution, and then it just doesn't work.
Well, at the very end, Clara is like, no, you're going to do your doctor thing and figure this out, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what happens. And then there's some ugly crying that we don't need to talk about.
The non-robot Haley moment. I think, too, that those kinds of... when you know someone's leaving, it could be an exit, or it could be a death. And when, I mean, you hope that there's something, I mean, would you rather see that kind of exit or like a death or a heartbreaker? And so then you get somebody like Bill who gets kind of both and no one's okay with it at all because you just want Bill to stay on forever.
Uh-huh.
And those moments too are... I wasn't doing the cast then, so I don't remember exactly if we knew things like when Bill left, but seeing that happen to her over and over, that was the hardest part of that death and then reborn and then what really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one was tragic, but then it must have launched 1,000 fanships of her going on space adventures with her space girlfriend forever.
And they did kind of give us that in the end, so it was great, but... I don't know, it was the, with Bill, it was not just the fact that she died, but then the fact that her humanity was stripped away from her as well. Like, it just kind of added insult to injury, where with Clara, we had the put the Band-Aid on the wound moment of, oh, well, he's going to take her right before she actually dies, and now she's kind of this weird undead thing that wanders around for who knows how long, and so it... I mean, do we feel like that took away from the impact of her death? And would we have preferred her death to be her actual exit? Or are we happy that we got to see her again?
So as a fan of her, it was nice to see her again. But I think it does take away the weight of her death. And yeah. There's no way it cannot. Like, if you kill a character, you don't get to say, oh, see, I'm such a brave writer. I killed this character. And then also keep the character.
Yeah, it's not about the numbers and getting people to come back because that wasn't their last episode. It should be about the weight of it, which hurts more, but feels more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one, I wasn't sure how to include. Like, technically, I guess it falls on this one, but we've got to talk about the pawns.
I think they go in all three categories.
They kind of do.
Because, you know, we do at the very end get their deaths, you know, we see their tombstones, but everybody dies. It's tragic because they leave the doctor not of their own choosing, but it's kind of happy because they have their whole life together. You know, they're married, they raise an adopted son that we find out about in a deleted scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had their life. That was great.
Yeah. And it was that we had the pump fake where, like, oh, they're falling off the building and they're dying. Oh, they didn't die. Yay. And then the angels take them away. And there were so many emotions going on at that point. And it's hard to make sense of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why it sticks in people's memory so well, is because for a good, like, 3 to 4 minutes, you didn't know what was going on anymore. Like, everything was possible.
It does speak a little bit to the ability of having companions like that who have each other versus just a one-off traveling with the Doctor, which, to kind of circle back around to Haley's point, it's what scares me most about Yaz, because she doesn't have the other person. It's just her and the Doctor. I mean, we'll see what we get from their new companion coming around. But like you said, with the Pawns, you know that they did have a good life and that they had something past. And so they do fit into all three of the categories from our perspective. But if you look at it from theirs, yeah, it was probably really difficult, but they also had each other. And that, to me, makes it feel a little bit less bad, but still, I mean, sad and impactful. Mm-hmm. I could make more words, but you know where I'm going.
So let me pose this question to you. What is it that you think makes a companion's exit stick in your mind? Because we've got examples from each category. So what is it that really helps to cement that memory?
For me, being such a visual person, it's when the angles that are captured really show you the emotion that they're going through and then leave you with those iconic scenes. So Rose on the beach or sliding down the wall, or the moment where you see Donna left without the Doctor. Those are what stick in my mind. And whenever I think of those moments, that's when I start to get more sad about it again and get on that loop of, oh yeah, that was a touching moment. So for me, that's what really sticks, is the visual emotional moments.
For me, it's kind of when the departure is congruous with the story up to that point. So I think that's why, in general, the modern companion departures stick with me a little better, since a lot of the classic ones are just kind of like, oh, and out. But like, the one that I think of most is Clara walking towards the Raven saying, you know, let me be brave, let me be brave. It was just, it was so much like her whole story had been building to that moment.
Absolutely. So is it more the way that the exit is executed, or the character that kind of drives that, do you think? Like, if you took any other companion and put them there facing the Raven, would it be as impactful? Or, you know, if you took Rose and, you know, erased her memory, or, you know, or whatever the case is, like, would they still resonate with you?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I kind of don't think so, because I kind of feel like those specific examples really went with that character's growth. Mm-hmm. Like, Donna had such immense growth from when she's introduced as the runaway bride or whatever to where she is at the end of her last story. Mm-hmm. To have her be the one whose growth is taken away has way more impact than if we'd seen that same story with, for example, Martha, who didn't have that kind of individual growth. She had growth in finding her own journey separate from the Doctor, but it wasn't the same as what we saw with Donna. So mm-hmm. that departure wouldn't have been as gut-wrenching.
Right.
I agree. I think it's the mix of both, because when the companion is in their right place for them to have departed, that's when it feels like all the puzzle pieces are down, or all you know, showed all the cards and you tried everything you could and that's the end. And if you tried to do any swaps, then other than maybe like legit death, like put any of them on that ship where Adric was, and yeah, it's going to make you cry, except for Haley. But when you get past that, and they're like those exits that match the storyline, I think I agree. That's what makes it the most powerful.
Well, next week, we're just going to keep the emotional trauma coming and come back with Children of Earth, Day 5. It's all coming home now.
It's the happy ending, right?
Right, yes. Everything gets wrapped up, big old bow. It's all going to be great.
No character exits or anything?
Yeah, no. No, everybody.
We're out of characters.
This has been episode 439 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying in true classic companion form, I'm out. I'm done.
This is Julie saying, beep, bop, boop, boop. I'm going to be Haley and just not cry anymore. Meow.
And this is Haley saying, I'm the companion that just got dumped on a space station somewhere.
We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Want to keep the conversation going? You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or just send us a good old-fashioned email to feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. You can also give us a phone call at 754-225-5477. That's 754-CALL-GPR, and you may hear your voice on a future episode of the show. Everything's got to end sometime, otherwise nothing would ever get started. Join us next week for a brand new episode.
Jacob Hansen. Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2021. We'll see you next week.